good morning. This is a very important topic in the entire region, as well as in South Africa, even though in the South African case it might not always seem to be the case. So therefore, to motivate why in South Africa it is important, I'm basically just trying to get some kind of background that in South Africa currently, depending on what kind of estimation technique and method you adopt, food security is affecting not less than 20% of the population. And there have been two main drivers of this situation in recent years. The first one has been the knock-on effects and lasting impact of the food price crisis. And then the second one has been the economic downturn of 2008. So this presentation is basically aimed at trying to find out what was the, can we understand how female-headed households, specifically in rural areas or across South Africa, have been impacted by the by these two events. Now, just a word of caution, a lot of people are under they harbor the impression that the food price crisis is over. I think in the South African case, we are currently, based on some other work that I've just completed, we are experiencing now what I call the third wave of a food price crisis just in the last decade. And that is extreme. The difficulty is that you can't pick it up by only focusing on producer prices or farm gate prices. But if you go to retail prices, you see it it hits you in the face. In other words, the prices that people pay at the cashier when they go and buy the food, that is where consumers are really feeling the pinch or feeling the impact. Now, this is just an older version of this in order to focus on the area where you have the three or four bars going pointing downwards. That's the period or the quarters where you have the global economic downturn. And if you look in that particular period, there is this blue dotted line that's going above the black and red line. And that blue dotted line, that spike, is basically referring to the food prices at retail level jumping way above the average level of inflation. What that basically means is that food prices during the global economic downturn and the South African economic recession, they were much worse than before that particular period. But of course, we are aware of the fact that the increase in food prices started way before that, roughly around 2006-2007. So the second food price crisis wave started roughly demarcated in the period 2006-2007 until 2009 in the South African case. And if you extend that graph to the to the latest data about June 2012, you will see another upward trend in food prices. If you look at specific food items or food commodities, that is the general picture that you're having. And the key point to emphasize is actually there in that little corner highlighted in green, that the most sustained and relatively higher average food group prices were concentrated in staple grains. In other words, the food items that poor people buy. And these were mainly in wheat and in vegetables. So these prices really jumped up by huge percentages at the retail level. Wheat prices in the January to December 2008 jumped up by 30%. In addition to that, we have maize prices specifically jumping up by 16.7%. Processed meat prices jumped up by 16% in that period. And then, of course, processed vegetables jumped up by roughly 14%. So these are all double-digit increments in food prices. So the main food items that poor people depend on were really rising very, very fast in that particular period. So there is some kind of need and interest in exploring this and in some way break away from the traditional approach that if you just produce enough food, then you will be able to deal with the food insecurity problem in a particular country. Here we have another dimension of the particular problem of food price increments. It's basically a comparison between food groups or specific food items in with the retail prices looked at in rural rural versus urban areas. And what we have is there, the last column is basically indicating the differences between rural and urban prices for these selected high consumption commodities. And in other words, people, a lot of people buy these commodities fairly frequently, and they comprise a huge share or weight in the consumption basket. If you look at it, rural-urban, rural people pay more for food in South Africa than urban people, on average. And that is what the storyline there is for those high consumption items. So I then thought, well, okay, let us try, given this background, can we look specifically at the case for female-headed households? And in the paper, I sort of do an analysis that female-headed households, they, 40% of all households in South Africa are female-headed households, even though females as an individual headcount or share of the population amount to 53% of the population. So I used a variety of different data sources and sort of put them together with specific focus on the general household survey, which is the only survey in South Africa with a real direct approach to food security issues, despite a variety of different shortcomings, which I will be highlighting shortly. In previous studies, we have tried to analyze some of the key drivers of food insecurity, and we clustered them into three sets of factors. Location, which is where are you located geographically? Do you live in an urban rural area? What type of house do you live in, and so forth? Source of household income and the level of household income. Unfortunately, the GHS does not allow us to really investigate the level of household income. And then it allows us to track what is called adult equivalent expenditures, which is just a way of weighting your expenditure based on the individual members in the household, including kind of food expenditure. Now, in the old general household survey, there was a single, what we call a hunger scale question, which is just asked, I mean, did the household go hungry in the last 12 months? And then sort of gave you these options, never, often, always, and so forth. The problem with this, of course, if you always experience hunger in the last 12 months, at the end of that period, you won't be able to answer the question because you won't be alive. And that's the biggest problem in the survey, of course. So it's a weakness in most of these household surveys. They plug this question in, and what they get out is that they get a very small percentage, and they think, well, there's nobody always going hungry. Well, you actually don't know, because probably those people are not around anymore. So that's a comment on the survey itself. Now, that comment has been communicated to the statistical agency in South Africa, and we've seen improvements in that in recent times. This picture is just telling you, or giving an overview of how the food situation jumped if you stick together the estimates from the various general household surveys ranging from 2002. So if you just focus on the bottom, and that's never hungry, so it increases, so never hungry, when never hungry increases, it means that smaller numbers of people actually experiencing hunger. When it decreases, like that period beyond 2007, it means that there has been an increase in the numbers of people experiencing hunger. So that we've got two figures there, because we have one question linked for children in the household, and the other one for adults in the household. When I did just simple cross-tabulation analyses and took it slightly further than that with a variety of different non-parametric techniques to check, is the household in which you have a child also likely to have an adult experiencing hunger, I got the finding that it's fair. The overlap is very strong, so it's useless for you basically to carry on with these different estimates. Furthermore, the problem is that you're asking the same one question linked to two different units within the household. household to one person in the household. So you're likely to get rather confusing results. Now, a lot of these methodological problems within the general household survey have been communicated and the case made for more objective measurements of food insecurity through anthropometric measures, for example, where you can pick up child wasting, stunting, and that type of stuff. Unfortunately, in South Africa, we haven't developed those different indicators to a sophisticated extent yet, and we're trying to do that. Of course, in response to this situation, the authorities basically adopted an immediate short-term, interventions, and then more kind of longer-term approaches of how to combat food insecurity in South Africa. So the short-term intervention was basically, food price prices have been driven primarily by certain companies within the highly concentrated agri-food system in South Africa. So the Competition Commission intervened, and they intervened in the bread price scandal, milk prices, and other agricultural input costs. Now, in the paper that we presented yesterday, we demonstrated that these things have not had, or these interventions have really had virtually no impact on these companies. And then the other one has been the big, what some people call the vote-catching mechanism within South Africa, which is the social grants. So you get people, you give them social grants, and they vote for you. And so these things have been rolled out to a large number of people. And then, of course, the government is seriously considering translating the right to food adopted in the 1996 Constitution into a real coherent policy that can be effectively implemented. So this is work in progress. They've been fiddling around with the zero hunger thing that they've been trying to copy from Brazil, but there is a really policy impasse at that particular level. Now, this is the kind of main result from the study, and if you look at the study, at this result, it's basically telling a very simple story. If you compare the last two columns, it's computing or indicating to you the percentage change in food expenditure and food expenditure equivalent or adult equivalent food expenditure between the 2008-2007 period and the 2007-2008 period, 2006-2007, 2007-2008. And if you look at those 2 years, you find a variety of differences. Up to 2006-2007, the people never going hungry, those kept on declining. But after 2007, in other words, 2007-2008, in 1 year, you basically got people back to where they were in 2006. So food insecurity started increasing and put people back to the position where they were in 2006. And in 1 year, you reversed gains and put people back 3 years. And so that's the basic story coming from that picture. This is another way of presenting more or less the same idea, which is just showing that the amount of money that people had to sort of lay out or spend on food started increasing very, very rapidly after 2007 for all the different food groups, all the different categories of people in the sample. Now, the problem in South Africa is that food insecurity is often treated as something for low-income people, unemployed people, people not included in the labor force. What this shows is that female-headed households in the labor force were the ones indicating the highest percentage change or the highest percentage increase in experiences of hunger. Why? Because in South Africa we have a phenomenon of what we call working poverty. In other words, you can be poor, you can be working, but you're earning very low wages. That's not enabling you really to go above the poverty line. So it's much, much bigger. So it's not only an issue of not being outside of the labor force. Even if you're inside the labor force, you're having difficulties meeting basic food needs. So what are the main results? I think I have 2 minutes to go.
You can have five.
Yeah, well, I've sort of given the gist of the story. So I have two minutes or 5 minutes, and I will just reinforce the kind of key messages coming from the storyline. Now, we are still battling with the legacy of the 2008 food price crises. and prices are rising again. The latest estimates seem to suggest that they now double the top part of the inflation band. The top inflation band in South Africa is 6%, so food prices have been increased by about 12% year on year. That's the latest information that I can share with you. And this is specifically severe at the retail level. In other words, the prices that people or consumers must pay when they go and buy food at cashiers. Now, even though the average increment over the period in terms of households experiencing hunger was just about 2 to 3% increase, it is important when you look specifically at female-headed households, much higher. The percentage share of people who are now food insecure, they above 20% of all households in South Africa. Turning specifically to food, to female-headed households, even though they only 40% of the households, more than double the average households experiencing hunger in females, they that have experienced hunger. In other words, 5 to 7% of female-headed households, were dumped into hunger as a result of the food price crisis and the global economic downturn. Where can you find these women mainly? They're not only in rural areas, they're also in the urban squatter settlements around Gauteng and Western Cape. And in Western Cape, specifically in the so-called backyard shacks, right? This is indicative of the housing crisis or housing problem. More importantly, point number three is that even those in the labor market have been experiencing difficulties in meeting their basic food needs. On the basis of these kind of key insights coming from this, I've been sort of advocating basically three main points. Firstly, we have to strengthen our gender-based targeting in food security policies. It's there in theory, but not in practice. Secondly, the instability in agri-food markets, especially these inflationary spikes, we have to combat through interventions that will stabilize food prices. I don't have a clear menu of how you're going to do that, but it's important to start thinking about that. And finally, we should be investing more effort in developing an appropriate food and nutrition security monitoring and evaluation system in South Africa. Thank you very much.